It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night, after the Yankees got the final out, Yuli Gurriel, the former Astro, flied out to Aaron Judge. The party was on. They obviously advanced to the American League Championship Series. Was the partying too much, Sean? Because Sean did not like when the Yankees celebrated making the postseason and winning the AL East. Was this okay? Because they did pop a lot of champagne. There was some jumping up and down. Yeah. Are we okay, or was it too much?
I think it was okay. I felt that way. You exercised the demon. You got to the ALCS. It was sigh of relief. This is when you start popping champagne. There was even some ripping of some other things by some players caught in the background. I don't know if you caught that last night.
Ripping some what?
Potential blunts were smoked last night.
It's legal, man.
That's okay.
It's legal these days.
I thought that was interesting.
Walk around the streets.
Yeah.
You smell it.
But yeah. I think indoors, they're not supposed to be smoking indoors.
Are they allowed to do that in the state of Missouri is the real question.
He was smoking a doobie.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Who was smoking a doobie? Verdugo?
It looked like Grisham and Jazz.
Grisham and Jazz?
It wasn't a cigar.
It was white.
It might have been a cigar with weed in it. Chisholm!
What's wrong with that, though?
I didn't say anything was wrong with it. I said I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. I am all for celebrating.
Those are my peeps. That's what you were saying.
Yeah. I'm all for celebrating. It's an accomplishment, man. Baseball's a long-ass season, as Aaron Boone has told us. Getting to the playoffs isn't easy, and advancing isn't easy. But I watched the entire post-game celebration, because I think sometimes in post-game celebrations, you hear players let their guard down. And I enjoy that, because sometimes you'll get honest answers. And there were two things that jumped out at me. We have Gerrit Cole being really weird, and Giancarlo Stanton being such a freaking man. You want to hear about Giancarlo first?
Tell me.
So Giancarlo Stanton is being interviewed after this game by Meredith Marakovich. And Meredith deserves a lot of credit. That's not an easy gig. She's in there. Champagne's everywhere. The champagne gets in your eyes. And Meredith asks Giancarlo a question like, hey, you had a pretty damn good ALDS. What'd you think of your performance? Listen to Giancarlo's answer and Meredith's question.
How would you describe your series?
Over, and we need a new one and be ready to go.
Wow. Mm. How badass is that?
Right.
These guys just kicked ass. If they had MVP awards in the division series, they don't. They have it in the LCS and the World Series. He's probably the MVP. Either him or Luke Weaver. Take your pick.
Right.
And Giancarlo Stanton pauses when Meredith asks that question.
Right.
And he's like, on to the next.
That's why you have vets like that. That's why you need vets like that. Because they're not exuberant and happy to be wherever they are.
Right.
They're ready for bigger things.
Well, I think in Stanton's case, he's seen these things. Like, he's been in an American League Championship Series. In fact, two of them. What he hasn't experienced is a World Series.
Right.
So to him, it's like, yeah, this was great, but I've done this before. I got to get to the dance.
Right. Meredith, I'm getting old. I need a ring.
I'm too old for this bleep.
Right.
I thought that was a really good answer.
I don't put anything in my body. Weed or alcohol. I need to win.
No, he probably puts like supplements in his body or something like that.
Give me a protein shake.
That's right. And then you get to Gerrit Cole. And the more Gerrit Cole talks, the more I like him personally because I'm an awkward guy. So who would I be to ever make fun of anyone else for being awkward? But listen to this answer from Gerrit Cole concerning what he does when he comes out of games and now the bullpen is trying to protect the lead.
How intense is it for you watching the bullpen get the final six outs as you guys punch your ticket?
Nestor makes fun of me because I always find a closet to go watch and just listen to the game. It makes me so nervous. But I don't know why. Those guys are nasty. So I mean, I need to figure it out, I guess.
My favorite part is I need to figure it out, I guess. It's like he's admitting he has a problem.
The quirks of teams and players and guys that you think are just supposed to be like the coolest guys in school, but they all have their unique. You never know. That's my point.
Oh,
you think
really
a guy who's like an ace, like Gerrit Cole, would just be the coolest dude in school. He's just not.
Well, you would think
he's not even trying to be. He doesn't even hide it.
No, not at all, which I admire. You think he's the coolest dude in the school because he's so cool in the postseason. Like postseason moments.
Or just his process. And he gets on the mound. It's like, dude, this dude is laser focused.
Right.
Man. This guy's got to be awesome. And he's just kind of a nerd.
And he admits, like, yeah, I came out of the game and I lock myself in a closet and I listen to Susan Waldman and John Sterling. Like, that visual is just amazing to me. Here's this guy who just, you know, like, he don't give an F, man. He just dominates. He pitches awesome. He's great. Boone's like, pats him on the ass and is like, you're the man. And he gets a standing ovation. And he's like, I got to find a closet. Can you make sure the radio's on? And he shuts the closet door, and he's sitting there listening to John and Susan try to broadcast the game.
It's amazing.
I love that man. Like, how do you not love Gerrit Cole after hearing something as doofy as that?
I love it. And he also said he loves celebrating by hammering some IPAs with the boys. I love that, too.
But that's normal. Like that, I heard that. That's like, yeah, that's normal.
Hammering IPAs. You're just trying to get drunk then.
That's it.
Yeah, even that's kind of nerdy. I love an IPA, but when you kind of reference that as the party beer, that's nerdy too.
But Tiki, doesn't this make a great team though? Because you have Jazz there rolling a blonde or whatever, and then you got Stanton doing push-ups for the ladies, 80s for the ladies, and Cole's in the closet scoring a baseball game listening to John and Susan. Doesn't that make a great team? It's a good mix.
It's just unique. It's because you think there needs to be this certain look of what a team is, and they're all different. It's just the matter is that they gel, that they get each other. Because sometimes it gets hard to accept somebody who's just so different than you.
Right.
That's really the testament to Aaron Boone, not to try to put him over or anything, but you get a disparate group of people, and they actually get along.
Well,
that's kind of awesome.
It's okay to put him over in that regard, because I think what we do around here, rightfully so, because it's the only thing we can judge, is we judge managing. We judge pitching moves, we judge lineups, we judge off days, and we get angry about it or we're happy about it, and that's how we view managers. But the one other area of managing that's very tough to calculate is how you handle a room. Mm. And we don't know. It's the mystery of managing, because I think that is a big part of managing. You want to say it's 60% of it, 40% of it, 80% of it. I'm not sure what the exact number is.
It is a big deal.
But it's a big deal.
Managing the personalities is a huge deal for any sport, really any business.
Anything. You're right. You're right. And I think Loogie said it best. Like, think about just some of the personalities on the surface. Jazz is rolling a blunt. Anthony Volpe is like a child. Like, he's 14 years old raising his hand. Hi, can I do this now?
Yeah, but he got a little man in him last night.
You know what? Okay, so that play, which is worthy of discussing before we move on from this division series. Anthony Volpe was very handsy with Mikel Garcia.
He should have been.
He didn't have to be. He didn't have to elbow him in the face.
Garcia's trying to smack the ball away, like push the ball away. Mm-hmm. So he just comes in with an elbow.
He didn't need to elbow.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did it.
You're trying to take the tag away from me, even though tagging his glove makes him out anyway.
Right.
But whatever. And so he just He naturally retaliated.
Yeah, but here's what's so weird about what...
defending himself.
He did, but here's...
And throwing an elbow.
But here's what Volpe did where I still think of him as, like, kind of childlike.
Uh-huh.
So, on this double play in the sixth inning of this game,
yep.
He does get very elbow-y with Miguel Garcia. Garcia's pissed off, right? And who cares if he's pissed off? But he's pissed off. And Anthony Volpe took an approach that I would take, which is better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is I don't want to get my ass kicked. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get very handsy with the guy and say, oh, no, it's okay. No, let me pat
no,
him
he wasn't
now.
Doing that.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No. He pushed him off the bag. So he didn't know if he made the tag.
That's before Garcia got pissed.
He didn't know if he made the tag. So he pushes him off the bag, and then Garcia stands up, and then he just throws his glove in his chest. You're off the bag. You're out. Even if you were safe before, you're out now. And then I don't know what Garcia said, but you could see Anthony Volpe just kind of staring through him.
No.
And then he threw the ball.
That's not,
to the third baseman.
That was Volpe trying.
And was like, what?
Volpe was trying. That's so not true.
That's how I saw fiction. It.
That is Volpe trying to, and I don't blame him for this. Like, I'm not ripping him because I would totally do this because I'm a wuss. That's Volpe saying, dude, we're good. We're good. I'm sorry. Let me get handsy. The guy who stepped in, and I give him a ton of credit, is Jazz. Jazz got involved to say, hey, are you looking at my guy? Get the bleep out of here. And I love Jazz for that. I do. I think he's exactly what this franchise needs. He's got energy. He's got fire. And he's going to defend his guy. Anthony Volpe was a scared child.
No.
Evan,
I don't think so.
Jazz was great in that spot. I could tell you haven't played a lot of organized adult sports outside of baseball.
I ran a baseball league.
Because what happened there with Volpe was being a douche, but in a good way. Garcia pissed him off. So when he keeps tapping him on the back like that, that's basically him being condescending towards him. Yeah. Like, what you going to do now, bro?
Yeah,
what you
going
to do now, bro?
You're
what
you're
gonna
out.
Do now?
Not
you're
true.
Go
you're
ahead.
Out. You're not true.
You're
he
out,
patted his glove on him, patted his arm, and then patted his arm again after he left, almost like, we're good. What's okay?
That was a condescending way of
no
saying
way.
We're good.
No. I don't buy it. And the only time he got tough is once Jazz got involved.
Because he knew,
hey, you know what? I got my guy with me.
You could tell by the facial expression of Volpe, he was being...
He was so flat-faced.
Yes, exactly. It was... Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're good.
I think you guys are being Yankee fans right now. That's okay.
I think that's how I saw it.
I'm here to be an IBO. Like, and I don't... I get why Volpe did it. I'm just like him. I don't want to get my ass kicked by Maikel Garcia.
Now, see, that's the problem.
What?
You think Volpe's just like you, and he's the furthest thing from you. See, that's how you're
I think he acted that way. He tried to defuse the situation by hitting him with the glove a couple of times after the play was over, patting him on the back. And then Jazz is the one who elevated the situation. I don't blame him for it because he saw that Volpe was getting bullied. And he's like, I'm going to stand up for my guy. And I think once that happened, that's when the tough muscles came out.
I love Jazz for that regardless. I'm going to beat Team Volpe, but Jazz is a forever Yankee. I'd build the monument now after that moment.
No, it was great. And the best part was, so after this situation is clearly not going to go anywhere, even though the bench is empty, and Maikel Garcia is leaving,
yeah,
all of the Yankees, including Aaron Judge, start waving goodbye to him.
They had enough of him. But could you imagine what has been said by him on the base paths all series, too?
What do you think he said? Maikel Garcia?
He could be, first of all, he was on base a bunch. He could easily be talking trash all around the bases and whatnot. They called him a sore loser, the Yankees did after the game. So clearly he's been mouthing off on the field the stuff we haven't heard.
And this was also like a really important spot in the game. So that was the Michael Massey double play, that whole situation. So they go from a leadoff man on, nobody out, to two outs, nobody on. And at this point, the Yankees are up 2-0. Bobby Witt Jr. behind in the count got a base hit right after that.
Yep.
And then Vinny Pasquantino behind in the count had the RBI double. I thought in that moment, sixth inning, oh my God, this is going to be a turning point. Like somehow the Royals are taking this and they're running with it. And Gerrit Cole, maybe it was the delay, is starting to struggle. And that's why when Cole got Salvador Perez to pop out, is the biggest out of the game. Hmm. Because there did feel in that brief moment like there was a momentum change happening after that benches clearing incident.
And Wells not catching the ball either.
Yeah, that too. That was a tough play though.
Hold on.
That was a tough play.
Hold on. That first, you cannot mention the Perez at bat without mentioning that the big part of that was the second life he got.
And by the way, it was only a two-pitch at bat. The first pitch was the foul ball that Austin Wells couldn't handle, and the second one was Salvador popping it up to second base.
Tough play or not.
I think it was a tough play.
Wells got to rip the face mask off and look up in the sky.
I understand. I'm just saying I don't they didn't call an error on the play.
I'm not saying they called an error, but that is what struck the fear was the idea that you gave Perez an extra pitch and not an out.
I'll definitely give you that added to it, that not only are the Royals putting together a two-out rally after a double play and a benches clearing incident, but now you just gave a former World Series MVP a second life.
Yeah. And you saw what the Yankees are. They're the stuff of champions. They don't let a Salvi Perez beat them. So,
what does that mean?
It means whatever you want it to mean.
I mean, I don't understand why you got to even say that. Like, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
The Yankees saw a World Series MVP and said, you're not going to do that to us. You could do that to other teams in your history, not us.
Okay. All right, you want to make this personal?
I'm not making anything personal.
I don't want to get into what you're thinking about because this will get personal. So we'll hold off on that for a while.
I'm not getting personal.
All right. I mean, you don't have to do that with Salvador Perez. It's not necessary.
I'm just bringing up Perez's past and saying that against this team, he cannot
do
that.
He does have history.
Yeah, that's it.
He has history.
Yeah, he does have a history.
Some of us roll over and die versus Salvi Perez, not us.
Speaking of history, you might play Cleveland next. They have a pretty good history, the Yankees and Cleveland.
Not really.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Did not. Sandy Alomar.
97 and 2007 is a long time ago. What about 2017, 2020, and 2022?
Yeah, what about that?
Like, what matters more?
No, because when I...
And 98, too.
Yeah.
They played in the ALCS once. Who won the ALCS? I'll help you out. 1998, the Yankees did.
It's not the Twins, is my point. They've had losses against Cleveland.
Yeah, they've also beat them more than they've lost to them.
You seem awfully concerned with the Yankees, Tommy. That's odd.
No. I was just reacting to what you said.
The better answer would have been the Tigers. The Tigers give the Yankees issues, if you look at their history. Like, I named three rounds off the top of my head where the Yankees have beaten them.
Right.
Where the Tigers have beaten the Yankees. ALCS 2012, Derek Jeter injury.
Yeah.
Right? 2011, the year before, Doug Fister, pitched a game five.
Ivan Nova?
In Detroit, in Yankee Stadium against Ivan Nova. So that's two series that they won. And then, of course, the Murderers of Row and Cano series of 2006. I got the Tigers being 3-for-3 against the Yankees. Am I missing one, by the way?
I don't know.
No, I think that's it.
They're great.
I think the Tigers are 3-for-3 against the Yankees. So
you made me hungry, Sean.
A little bit of a miscue. The team with the better history against the Yankees, if that matters, and I don't think it does, by the way, would be Detroit more so than Cleveland. So a little baseball history lesson for you, Tommy.
Thanks. My life is so much better.
Well, why'd you say their history against Cleveland? I had to correct you.
Because you were just sitting there taking some shrapnel on, and I was trying to back you up there.
You should have just reminded me of the Tigers. They beat them three times in the playoffs.
Okay, I forgot about
you
the Tigers.
You two non-Yankee fans can't even get your story straight.
Would you agree, though? Would you agree,
We're
though?
We're getting rattled, Sean.
The Sandy Alomar moment, though, is bigger than the A-Rod throwing the ball. Series.
Already?
What?
So I don't know what you're talking about.
They're already scared of the Subway series.
I am not even Subway series. You're talking about the one from June and May and July? No, I disagree with you. The most significant Yankee Indian, I have to say Indian, because that's who they were, in my opinion. Like, Sandy Alomar is definitely up there, Tommy. 100%. It's a division series after they won a World Series. To me, IBO, the Yankees being down 2-1 to Cleveland in 98. That's the 98 Yankees. Maybe the greatest team we've ever seen. They're down 2-1. It's the only piece of adversity they faced that entire year. El Duque comes out. They win game 4. They win game 5. They close them out in 6. I would say the most important Yankee versus Indian Guardian moment is the 1998 American League Championship Series that the Yankees won, in my opinion.
But I would just say this to Sean. I felt like any time it was Mariano that took the loss, that cut a lot deeper. You think Luis Gonzalez,
yeah,
you think Sandy.
So
when
funny.
Mariano's on the mound, you felt like...
But you know why that's different? When Sandy did that in 97, that was the first year of Mariano as a closer. We had no idea what he was. So it was like, yeah, they beat Mariano, but it's retroactive for us to say they beat Mariano. Because
right.
That wasn't Mariano in 1997. He wasn't even the closer in 96. That was his first year as closer. So I don't think it cuts the same as when the Red Sox did it in 2004 or even when the Diamondbacks did it in 2001.
I agree. It's just crazy that that's where you guys go. Immediately, I just go Jabba with the midges and that meltdown. That's
your number one?
That's my number one. No doubt about it.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of Yankee Guardian Indian moments thing because he's right. Like, Sandy's a big one in 97. Jabba with the midges in 07 is huge. My thing on 98, I mean, that's the only time they played in the ALCS. That's for the American League Championship. That's a big deal. In 2017, how do we forget that? Cleveland's
the Girardi series?
Yeah, the Girardi series. Lindor hit a grand. That's the other Lindor grand slam, Teague. It was in that division series.
Girardi doesn't know how replay works in that spot.
That's right. That was huge. Yeah, look at us. We're breaking down Yankees, Indians, Yankees, Tigers, Yankees, Guardians. I still say Indians because I'm thinking of the Indian series.
Because you're thinking of the history.
Yeah. It's funny. I can't do the history and then call them by a different name because that's not who they were.
You have to say then.
The then Indians.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to do that from now on. If we get Yankees Guardians, there'll be a lot of then Indians. Darren is in South Brunswick, New Jersey.
Why
what's up, Darren?
I go into the territory?
Darren,
hey guys, how?
What's up?
Listen, I first of all want to tell you guys you're my favorite show, and Tiki, you're my favorite guy on the station.
Thank you.
All time.
Except for
and
I
love
about
you
Yankees
as a player,
history,
bro.
I'm like, what the hell are y'all talking about?
Sorry about that.
But you know what, though? You have such a great view on sports in general, and you see like the psychology behind it, and I really like your take on just about every sport you talk about.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Listen, a couple quick things. First of all, every team that's left in this tournament is flawed. Yankees are flawed. The Mets are flawed. All the West Coast teams are flawed. Everybody's got flaws. No one's, oh my God, that's the team to beat. The 98 Yankees was the team to beat. You had to beat them, and they were the best team.
I agree.
The Yankees are not, they do not qualify for that this year.
Agreed.
They limped into this series. They should have lost that series to Kansas City. They had 9 walks. They scored 3 runs. So here's the thing. The team's got to get hot. Judge is coming around. All that's good. Do they have a chance? Sure, they have a chance. Am I confident? Hell no, I'm not confident. All the teams in the National League are better than us. Now, I would say they're playing better than us for sure.
Yeah,
maybe they're not better than us in talent, but they are all hotter than us right now.
I don't know what. But the problem with that is I don't know what hot even means. Mm-hmm. Like, are we talking about hot over the last 2 weeks, hot over the last 2 months, hot over the last 3 days? Like, what does that mean? The Los Angeles Dodgers won a game with their backs to the wall. Are they hot now?
No.
You know, like,
They exhausted their bullpen doing so.
Right. So I don't know what hot is. You know, the Padres are the best team since June 1st. The Mets are the second best team since June 1st. I don't think any of that matters. I think it comes down to this individual moment and this individual series. And, yes, it's a great point. The Yankees had a lot of traffic in these 4 games, and they did not take advantage of it. Logic tells you that's going to have to change if you're going to win a best-of-seven
series.
Logic
also tells you that it will change when and if Aaron Judge starts being Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And he starts driving and runs, and this team puts up quirky numbers early like we saw not yesterday, but in previous iterations of this team. I mean, that's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
No question. And think about this with the New York Yankees. There is no American League team that scored as many runs as the New York Yankees. Mm. They were, statistically, if you want to buy that, because stats kind of matter, they were the best offensive team in the American League. And if you look at the teams that are remaining, the Cleveland Guardians and the Detroit Tigers, it's not particularly close. So right. We know the Yankees are capable of it. And I think what has to excite you is that even in not doing so, they just won a series in four games.
Right.
They won the series anyway. Ted's in New Jersey. What's up, Dad? Hey, Ted.
Oh, how's it going, man? So I just want to touch back as a baseball nerd about how to not miss any pitches while changing diapers, cooking dinners, etc. And it's pretty cheap.
Yes.
I've got four crumb snatchers myself, and I've found that the MLB radio app lets you listen to any broadcast, home or away, Spanish
right.
language.
Right.
So you can just put that phone down while changing a diaper. While making frozen pizzas.
You could do
almost,
that.
You don't have to hit a pause.
No, you're right.
And it was about $20 a year. I think they just moved it up to 30.
No, I understand. But, that's if you don't mind not seeing it. So, I don't know. Like, to me, I need to see everything this time of year. Hmm. So, that's why I would prefer to pause rather than just listen. But that's me. For you, did he call his kids crumb snatchers?
Yeah, he did.
Have you ever heard that term used for children?
I've not heard that.
I've got five crumb snatchers.
Crumb snatchers, I would think, would be like a dog, though.
I don't know, man. Kids always looking for that extra bite if they come by.
Right, but a dog is always around your feet, just kind of waiting for the crumbs to fall.
That's true, too.
That feels like more of a crumb snatcher.
Yeah.
I agree. We do have results on that poll I put out there for Yankee fans. Who would you prefer to play in the ALCS? And it's pretty convincing. There's a clear choice right now. Despite the history that we just went through, that poor Tiki half to death, Yankee fans want the Detroit Tigers. Huh. I think they're using the logic I have, which is they're just not that good. And if you get them in a best-of-seven series, the odds are they're going to show you what they are.
Right.
Which is a team that, you know.
Well, they just come back to who they've been for most of the season. That's what you're thinking.
Yes.
Unless they don't.
Unless they don't.
Which is what just happened the last couple of years in the postseason.
I know. That's the weird part. But usually, eventually, you do show up
right.
and you are who you are. More of your calls coming up. We'll look ahead to who the Mets may play in the NLCS. Plus, I've got a big idea for the Yankee rotation that I don't think anybody's thinking about. A game plan. Doesn't matter if it's Cleveland, doesn't matter if it's Detroit, but I got a big idea that will improve the Yankees' chances on winning this series, whether it's Detroit or Cleveland, but it's out of the box. Mm. Are you okay being out of the box?
Of course.
Okay. We're going to go right out of that box coming up. Plus more of your phone calls. We got Giant Talk we'll get to, especially coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, and controversy around Malik Nabers. We are living in a New York sports dream world. The New York Mets are in the NLCS waiting to find out who their opponent is. We'll find out later tonight when the Padres take on the Dodgers. The New York Yankees are in the ALCS waiting for their opponent. We'll find out tomorrow afternoon when the Tigers take on the Guardians. That game 5 between Detroit and Cleveland actually got moved up because there's bad weather in the forecast in Cleveland. So it's now a 1 o'clock game. Winner take all. The winner advances to the ALCS. The ALCS will open on Monday night. And Monday is going to be a crazy day. We're doing a really exciting remote that day where you can hang out with us at American Dream. We'll be at the Dream Bar at American Dream, right, you know, across the street basically from MetLife Stadium. Jets are playing the Bills at night. The Mets are playing the Dodgers at 4 o'clock game two. We'll have the game on. We'll be reacting. And the Giants are playing the previous day, and the Yankees are playing game one of the ALCS that night at Yankee Stadium.
Dodgers or Padres.
What did I say?
You said the Mets are playing the Dodgers.
Wow, Ev.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. Did you get the script that I got in the email, too?
I wonder,
you said it confidently.
I know. Not even missing a beat.
I wonder if that's like a subliminal thing I have, that I'm either rooting for them or I expect it.
Mm.
I don't know what it is. Because I'm really not rooting that passionately.
I think it's probably you expect it.
Okay, maybe
I would
that's
guess
true.
That.
Maybe that's true. So that's going to be a fun day on Monday at American Dream Bar. So Gerrit Cole pitched last night. And I think that we would all universally agree, no matter what side of the fence you were on with Gerrit Cole when it came to sticky stuff or the mm-hmm. four fingers, we all agree right now universally he is a big time ace. Do we all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You saw it.
I'm going to get to my point, Sean. I'm building it up a certain way because it's really going to drive home something that you may not agree with at first, and Tiki may not agree with at first. Gerrit Cole's fifth day would be game two of the ALCS. That will be his next start in all likelihood. Game two of the ALCS. Mm-hmm. If you start game two of the ALCS, that puts you in line for game six of the ALCS. Cool, great, fine. I'm thinking bigger than that. Gerrit Cole is the most reliable money pitcher currently pitching in Major League Baseball. I want to force a team to have to beat him multiple times. Huh. So why not wait till his fifth day? Why not start him in game one on his fourth day?
Because he's a creature of habit.
Is he?
And that could mess him up.
Interesting.
But tell me otherwise.
I will tell you otherwise. Gerrit Cole has pitched on short rest once before.
Mm-hmm.
He did that all the way back in 2020 in the American League Division Series against the Tampa Bay Rays. It was a day or 4 days after he threw 97 pitches and six solid innings against the Rays. He came back on 3 days rest in a winner-take-all game five and was utterly brilliant. He pitched into the sixth inning and only allowed one run. As of this moment, that's the only time he's done it. My question is, why not do it again? Why not do it again? Because
what year was that?
That was in 2020. Why not do it again? Because if Gerrit Cole can come back on short rest and pitch game one, that means he could come back on short rest and pitch game four, which means he could then come back on short rest again and pitch game seven. And what I ask you is, don't you think you have a better chance of winning a series when you tell the Detroit Tigers or the Cleveland Guardians that you're going to have to face Gerrit Cole not once, not twice, but three times? And he's already shown you he can do it. It's not like he's never done it before, or when he did it, he failed. So my question to you is, why not?
Because he's only done it one time. Mm-hmm. And why hasn't he done it in more? I guess probably because he left, right? He left Houston and then came to the Yankees.
Why has he never done it before that? Is that what you're asking?
Well, why hasn't he done it more is my point.
I think because a lot of teams are afraid. And I think that for the most part, you don't whip that card out unless you need to.
I'm thinking more opportunity. Has he had the opportunities to do that? Right? Has he been in enough seven game series to even contemplated doing
that? Well, you got to look at every individual situation. So if you go back and look, like they could have done that with the Astros in 2019 because he started game one, but mm-hmm. looking at their rotation, they probably figured that didn't give them the best chance to win. He only started game one and he started game five. So yes, they could have done that in 2019, but A.J. Hinch's decision not to do it doesn't mean it's something I wouldn't explore. And look, Your guy, who's a legend, did it. And he did it numerous times. And he did it over and over again. And a part of why C.C. Sabathia is as respected as he is, and a part of why the New York Yankees won the World Series in 2009, was because C.C. Sabathia said, give me the freaking ball, I can do it. Now, C.C. had experience with it because he did it with the Brewers a year earlier, and that was even more impressive because he was doing it in the regular season, and he was doing it with a contract on the line. But this is something C.C. Sabathia did. He started game one of the World Series in 2009. He came back and started game four of the World Series that year on 3 days rest. Did the same thing in the ALCS. He didn't come back for game seven. You want to know why? They didn't need a game seven. So C.C. Sabathia did it multiple times during their 2009 run, the last time the Yankees won a World Series, and I don't think doing that is desperate. I don't think the Yankees were desperate in 2009. They did it because they had a dog. They had an ace. They had a man.
Right.
And I believe you have one again, so why not?
I mean, I'm not against it unless Gerrit Cole's against it. And Gerrit Cole just hasn't been given enough opportunities to do this. Do I think he would get hurt or be detrimental to his success, success ability? I don't think so. I think he'd be fine pitching on short rest. But if the Yankees don't have to do that in this series, this upcoming CS series, championship series, why would you do that?
I'm going to ask you a question. They didn't have to do it in 2009, but they did it.
Well, they did.
You don't sometimes know you have to do it.
It was a different world.
Why is it different? You trust Carlos Rodon?
No, it's not about that. It's just a different understanding of the mechanics of a person's body. Like, think about the things that they go through to protect athletes these days. Football players walk around, go to practice with trackers so they know how much they've run so that they can protect themselves against injuries. The pitch counts and statistics and analytics in baseball prevent guys from going however many pitches into a game, right, based on what they perceive as their injury risk. So I think it's just the game has changed.
I disagree. I don't think it's changed as much as, like, you're right, it's changed, but I still think that that is a weapon that managers have used and they can use. It's just a matter of when do you want to use it?
I'm not doubting you on that. I'm not even combating you on that. I'm just saying, like, the health and wellness side of sport has really taken over. We don't see it all the time,
right,
but it really has taken. I mean, think of the fact that Malik Nabers isn't playing again because he can't get through the concussion protocol. That's basically being able to put on a red jersey and go to practice. He hasn't been able to do that in almost 2 weeks now. That's not because he doesn't want to play. He just can't clear the protocol.
Right.
And so like the teams and leagues, and they're protecting guys really from themselves. And so unless Gerrit Cole does like CeCe did, which is, I'm sure, stand on the table and say, I'm taking the ball in 3 days or 4 days. How is that going to... I don't think it's going to be something that anybody's going to think of.
Oh, I think you should think about it. Now, you could disagree with me, but my main reasoning for why I would do it, as aggressive as it is I don't trust the rest of the rotation. Mm-hmm. I don't trust Carlos Rodon. So if you think about the alternate to what I'm suggesting, which is, yeah, asking a lot out of Gerrit Cole, saying, hey, take the ball on 3 days rest in game one.
But Rodon's got to pitch anyways.
I understand, but if Gerrit Cole's pitching 3 times or 2 times, what do you think is better? 3 times or 2 times?
I mean, 3 is better. Okay, obviously better than 2.
That's what my point is. Yes, you're right. Rodon's going to have to make a start. I don't disagree with that. But if you position yourself to where your best pitcher can pitch 1-4-7, does that not give you a better chance of winning the series?
Okay, first of all, it does. Okay. Second of all, it's revisionist history.
Yes.
The 09 team had to totally, out of necessity, all 3 guys pitched on short rest.
I'm aware of that.
So it wasn't just a CC thing. Also, I don't disagree with your idea, but my guess is the Yankees aren't oblivious to this. They have probably talked to Gerrit Cole about this. And right. If Gerrit Cole feels comfortable doing it 3 times in one series as opposed to just the 1 time in 2020, he will do
it. By the way, it's not 3 times. It's 4 times. Because you'd be asking him to start game 1 on short rest. Game 4, actually, no, you're right, 3 times.
3 times.
My man's wrong.
Right. 3 times, all yes. I'm saying is, if Gerrit Cole does not start game 1 and does this, I don't think I'm under the assumption the Yankees didn't approach him about it. It could go back just to the creature habit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to go on behind the scenes. See, one thing, and I thought about this last night, and I mentioned this at the top of the show. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. Gerrit Cole could have pitched the 8th inning. Do we not all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of those deep shots to right field were getting a little...
Right. They're getting a little close.
You're right. Look, he almost gave up a home run to Kyle Isbell. That was actually the final batter he faced. So I totally get that argument. But at 87 pitches, he could have come out for the 8th inning. There was a part of me that thought, is Aaron Boone taking him out? Because, hey, at 87 pitches, coming back on short rest is not as impossible as if you throw 105 pitches. It did cross my mind. And it's got to at least be considered. Because my point to you is, while this isn't exactly the same as 2009, there are similarities in that I don't trust Carlos Rodon. I don't. Mm. I don't know how much you guys trust Clark Schmidt. He was pretty good in his last start.
I trust him.
But he's okay. He's fine.
You have to.
Yeah.
No, you don't, because if you maximize Gerrit Cole, you're asking for less from Rodon, Schmidt, and Heel if you're maximizing your best pitcher.
Oh, by the
and
way.
I would want to maximize my best pitcher. Same if I'm Detroit. I think Tarik Skubal is at least approached that level with the year he's had. If I had the chance, they don't now because they lost yesterday.
Yeah.
I'd be doing the same damn thing.
They may not pitch Carlos Rodon in this series, too. I have been thrown curveballs with the way that they've handled this first base situation, with them actually pulling Clay Holmes from the closer situation. A couple things are in play here. Number one, Luis Gil now off a couple-week break, I think he's going to start a game in the series, okay? Number two.
Well, Luis Gil has to start a game in this series because unless you're going with short rest and a short rotation, you need a 4th guy.
Hold on.
So that's clearly going to happen.
Yesterday we found out there's a chance we might have Nestor Cortes available.
Nestor Cortes.
He completely ramped up the intensity, and he could be back starting games here. And number three, I don't know. I saw a pretty good soldier in the dugout in Marcus Stroman sitting with Gerrit Cole every single time. Didn't complain once about not being on this playoff roster. It's cutthroat time now. Rodon, you're out. We made Stroman sit there in round one. Maybe Stroman gets a start over him.
I appreciate all those possibilities. You wouldn't want to maximize your lead dog?
I would want to, if he's willing to do so. And all I'm saying is,
Gerrit Cole would never say no to that, by the way.
I don't know about that, dude.
I disagree with you guys in this regard. Like, I don't think it would get to Gerrit Cole. I think either Aaron Boone would say, we're going to do this, and Gerrit Cole would say, of course. Because I don't think you're giving Gerrit Cole enough credit. As much of a creature of habit as he is, he also wants to win badly, man.
Of course he does.
This guy hasn't won. He lost in 2019. You don't think that's bitter to him? They lost like seventh game to the Nationals. I think if Aaron Boone went into his office and said, hey, dude, I'm thinking about something. Tell me if you're good. You think there's any chance in the world he's saying he's not good? He's going to do it.
I just know Gerrit Cole's at his best on regular rest.
His one start on short rest was good, was it?
Yes, but
so then why do we keep saying that?
3 times in a week and a half is asking a lot for a creature to have to keep
doing it. I get that's a lot, but stop acting as if it's fact that he can't do it on short rest when the one time he did it, he pitched great.
It's not that he can't. It's that we know, without a doubt, in rhythm, his best of him is on regular rest.
So how would you line up the rotation in the ALCS, fellas?
I'm starting Luis Gil game.
Wow. Are you really?
I am. And I trust a couple times we've seen him with a little longer break. I think he's had the most juice. I would give Heal the start in game one, goal to Gerrit Cole in game two, and then I would run out Clark Schmidt in game three.
I don't think it's a terrible idea if you're not going to go with my idea, only because maybe you're best to get Rodon out of Yankee Stadium. That's number one.
Right.
And number two, it's been so long since Heal pitched, you kind of want to get him out there.
Yeah.
Like, it probably doesn't help him that he hasn't pitched in so long.
Yeah, but you're still going to have Rodon in Yankee Stadium.
No, you can start him in game three. You can go Heal game one.
That's right, because you said Cole in game two.
Right.
Yeah. And then it's either 3 or 4, by the way. You could pitch Schmidt in game 3, and you never know. You could be up 3 games.
You are right, though. If Rodon pitches game 3, that would line him up for game 7 at Yankee Stadium, which is a very scary thought.
Which is why I go game 4 for him. Not even put him once in the series.
Right. So you go Heal Cole Schmidt.
Yeah.
Rodon Heal Cole.
Yeah. How is that bad?
I didn't say it was bad.
Unless.
I didn't say it was bad.
Heal is not up to snuff.
Well, he's got to start. They have to go to a fourth.
Of course,
guy.
he's gonna start one of these games. But what if he's not? What do you expect?
This
him
is
to be?
Where I carry.
What if he just looks really rusty and gets knocked around? And then you reimagine it. You do it different ways. But
this is why I carry Stroman on this roster, and he backs up Heal in game one, and then he's in road. Long.
As you're talking through this, I know what's going on in both of your heads, and I appreciate it. I just don't know if you're going to admit it. As you're talking through Heal and Rodon and this game and that game, you're realizing I'm right. You're realizing, Evan's right. No, I want Gerrit Cole in game one because I want to maximize my best pitcher.
Yeah, but we also believe that Luis Gil's going to be great. And if he's great, you don't have to worry about it. The challenge, and this is, if you want to think of CS roster construction, this is why, you know, with the Mets, they're likely to go extra position player. And with the Yankees, you kind of got to go extra pitcher because at least two of these starters, Heal and Rodon, are going to need a long guy to back them up.
Right.
Right? And so you're keeping an extra guy for both just in case. And so it gets challenging to expect Luis Heal to be Luis Heal that we saw in June and July, and then he's not. And then now you got to adjust. Like, you got to be ready for plan B
immediately
in the championship series. You can't just say, we'll figure it out. We'll get him next game.
I agree.
You're not allowed to do that at this stage.
That's why I would want to maximize having my best guy out there. Like, I was thinking about this as the day went on the other day during the Mets-Phillies game. And after the game ended, you know, I kind of tuned in to Philadelphia YouTubers screaming about losing.
Yeah.
And it hit me even more. They really screwed up not pitching Zach Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you let your season end without your best pitcher being maximized? And so what I'm telling you today, because this is the only time we could have this discussion, once they decide to start Gerrit Cole in game two, we can't have this discussion anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now that despite the risks of starting him on short rest, which I totally understand, I wouldn't want to lose not using my best weapon as often as humanly possible. And as you guys talk through Schmidt and Heal and Cortes and Stroman, it only reinforces the idea of Cole being asked to pitch more is the best idea.
Of course it is, but the Yankees aren't at that spot. They're not debating that. The Phillies should have been thinking about this.
You're right, but the Yankees have to put themselves in a position to be in that spot. Once you start Cole in game two, he's not pitching 3 times as a starter in this series. Mm. It's over. It's a decision you have to make now. And what the Yankees did in 2009, and I know all the circumstances aren't ideal or the same, is from the beginning of the ALCS against the Angels, they said, we're going to maximize CeCe Sabathia.
Yeah, but they had
to. It wasn't too late.
But as Sean just said, they had to do that.
Why can't they here? Why do you say they have to then, but they don't have to here? When you just went through the Yankee rotation.
Yeah, exactly. Because I just went through the Yankee rotation, and I'm getting the vibe me and Tiki are way higher on this Yankee rotation than you are outside of Gerrit Cole.
Well, like, I think Gerrit Cole's a lot better, yeah.
I think it's awesome.
I think you're scared of your number two starter, who is Rodon, even though he's... he's probably not your number two, but right. that's where he's slotted. You're Evan, mm-hmm. as an IBO, are like coming at it from a terrified, don't trust mindset, and it's making you recalculate everything else. Whereas Sean, and I think most Yankee fans, myself included, are saying, well, I kind of trust Luis Gil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I do, because he hasn't proven it yet in the postseason, but I kind of trust him just from what I saw in the regular season. Same thing with Clark Schmidt. Like, you just feel this trust for these guys yet. Whereas Rodon, you don't trust him because you've seen him implode.
Right.
You've seen him disappear in a big moment. That I don't think these other guys are there yet. And so as a manager, you got to think of, like, supporting my guy until he gives me reason not to.
It's not about disliking Clark Schmidt or Luis Gil. I'll leave Rodon out because I don't trust him. Mm. It's about really respecting the specialness that you have in Gerrit Cole. You have a Hall of Famer. Like, we're talking about one of those guys that if you ride him the right way, he can help you win a world championship. And those guys are really, really rare. The Dodgers don't have one of those guys. The Padres don't have one of those guys. Mm-hmm. We as Met fans like to think Sean Manaea is that guy. Maybe he'll turn out to be, but he hasn't proven to be that guy. Tariq Skubal's on his way potentially to being that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Gerrit Cole is that guy, and I have him, and I want to maximize him. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. How you doing, Ray?
I'm good, Evan. Something tells me that after this conversation, you won't be, though. So allow me the opportunity to get at you, because I was on hold last week 2 hours and didn't get the opportunity. Now, Evan, listen, let me preface by saying this.
Yeah.
When you were with Joe Benigno,
yes.
I used to really love you. Uh-oh. After Craig Carton, I don't know, something rubbed off. You became obnoxious. But anyway, so this is why I call, right? Because you and a lot of bitch-ass Mets fans, right? You guys want to talk about first-round bye and, you know, the Yankees clear, you know, pass to the World Series. Excuse me, were you not shaking in your boots when you were playing the bum-ass Milwaukee Brewers who hadn't won a playoff game in the last 5 years, even though they've been in the postseason? And you know, after game two, when they tied you guys up, you were the biggest hypocrite saying anybody can be anybody. Now you're talking about we got a clear path? Come on, bro. Like, that is so hypocritical. Nobody had a bigger first-round bye.
Ray, mm-hmm. Ray, you sound like a wonderful guy. You are the reason.
That's because I am.
You do. No, you do. And I'm going to give you a compliment. And I have avoided saying this for an hour and 53 minutes. But you know what? You're basically bringing it up without bringing it up. So let's have a conversation. You are the reason I don't want anything to do with playing the New York Yankees in the World Series, because you're an obnoxious, trash-talking loudmouth. That's what you are,
Ray. Actually, I'm responding to what you were saying.
What did I say? You're the team.
I'm 100% correct.
I have been nothing.
You were shaking in your boots.
Okay, so I was shaking in my boots. I never told you not to shake in your boots. Baseball's tough. The playoffs are tough. I commend the Yankees for beating the Royals. You did nothing wrong. So why are you coming at me? What have I done?
Because
the only thing I've done wrong.
What? You were the first one on the air to bring that up. Because
you're the favorites. You're the favorites. That's not a narrative to be a douche. You're the better team. And there's pressure on you when you're the better team.
Evan, let me just say this. I do appreciate that you gave us the great Alton Trone, man. So thank you very much
for
that.
Welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. But Ray, I want to make this very clear to you and everybody listening. And I'll be the black sheep or the white sheep. I forget what color sheep it is who, like, stands out and disagrees with everybody else.
Black sheep.
The black sheep?
Yeah, most sheep are white.
I'm going to be the black sheep on this, and I don't give a rat's ass. You're going to hear a lot of BS. It's good for business. Screw business, okay? I want nothing to do with the Mets and the Yankees in the World Series. I want nothing to do with it because of guys like Ray. I want nothing to do with it because of guys like Sean. And that doesn't mean I'm scared. I mean, I am. But I want nothing to do with it because you're sensitive. I said nothing wrong. I said, you're the favorites. The road's been cleared. Well, am I wrong? And you're crying about it, and you're whining about it, and you're talking trash at my team. We've just spent 2 hours. There was no correlation or mixings of the Mets and the Yankees. But I know this is inevitable. I know what's going on. It's been about 18 hours since the Yankees advanced, and it took you fools in the media 5 minutes to ask Aaron Judge, what do you think of the Subway Series? It took you another few hours to ask Carlos Mendoza, what do you think of the Subway Series? And that's all you people want to talk about, the Subway Series. There's no Subway Series. The Yankees have work to do. The Mets have work to do. We don't even know who our opponents are.
Right.
And we're already starting the trash talk. I hate it. It's toxic. It's awful. I want nothing to do with it. I'm out. No Mets, Yankees. Okay? No, not for me. I'm not interested. Glad I got that off my chest.
Me too.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.